church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it. When you speak, you scatter darkness. Light arrives in heaven, opens. Holy Spirit, let us see it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it.
Yeah. under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. Beneath the water, I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me, heaven's reckoning? Either way, I'm bound to the things of this world. And I'm
and all the earth. And Father, we just praise your marvelous, wonderful name. And Father, we lift up our president. We lift up the United States of America. Father, we lift up your church, the church of Jesus Christ, the one that Messiah said he would build, that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And Father, we just praise you now, Lord God, that you are moving, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise tonight. Bless the study of your word tonight. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm too fat and arms are too short. Very good. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed tonight? I seem like I'm really far away. Usually on Wednesday, I like to stand right down there, but we'll try it. I wanted to see what it looked like. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus did say that he would build his church that the gates of hell would not prevail against. Amen? How many of you believe that tonight? I believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. But there has been an assault on God, and there has been an assault on Christianity around the world. Amen. And the Bible tells us that judgment begins in the house of God. And we see that in Jerusalem in 70 AD, how God judged the religious Jewish people, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple using the Romans. Anytime God's judgment comes upon a people, it's usually in the form of an army. But how many know God has restored the nation of Israel? God is in the restoration business. But that doesn't mean that he still doesn't judge. He is a righteous judge. Amen? We can trust in him. God's mercy always precedes his judgment. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Hallelujah. You know, I've been digging into something, and I heard a man, and you know this guy. He quotes a guy, and I'll get deeper into it maybe next Wednesday. I'd like to do a series on the church in the New World Order and how the church has allowed false doctrine into it. The church has allowed secularism into it. Universalism is in the church. You know, we all serve the same God. Rick Warren describes the One World Order as a stool with three legs. And the stool with three legs requires a one world government, a one world economy. And Rick Warren says that you've got to get the church on board, okay? That the universal church will be that third leg of a one world order. And here's a quote from Mr. Warren. By the way, I throwed out his purpose-driven life book today in my house. I was studying this out. I have no need of that anymore. But he said this, the biggest mistake the church makes is we think sermons, i.e. the Word of God, will produce spiritual maturity. He says to think that the Word of God being preached will not produce spiritual maturity. Well, if the Word of God doesn't produce spiritual maturity, what will? But he says that's a mistake by the church, that we think the Word of God preached can help change someone or build spiritual maturity. Now, I want you to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 15. Verse 15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Amen. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Jesus doesn't tell us we can't judge. He's simply telling us we judge by the fruit that is being produced. Amen? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Like I said before, Jesus didn't say we couldn't judge. He just simply told us to judge the fruit. And he said a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. All right, let's look at another quote. This one is from Rob Bell. Have you ever heard of Rob? Rob Bell, he wrote the book Velvet Elvis. Basically, Rob Bell doesn't like the concept of hell. So he has come up with a doctrine that there is no hell. Hell is right now. When you face, you know, difficulties and stuff in life, that's your hell. So here's what he says. Now, from way back when, and he's really into some weird stuff, but he's got a mega church, or he had a mega church, and he had great influence once upon a time. Says, now from way back when, our ancestors understood that there's something divine about our breath. I watched a little video of him today as he was preaching, and Rick Warren, Rob Bell, and a bunch of other folks that have mega churches, they're really into New Age and meditation. And Rob believes that our breath is divine because he thinks that it's really an old Gnostic belief that you are a god yourself, that you can meditate long enough and hard enough until you become divinity. And I actually watched him as he was doing breathing exercises from his pulpit with his congregation because he believed that his breath was divine. I also watched an interview. I can't remember the guy that interviewed him, but he was really good. And basically, he had Rob Bell on the ropes the whole time because he was telling him, you've developed an easy, easy gospel. And he asked him, don't you think that's dangerous? And, of course, Rob Bell was ducking and, you know, and jiving. But anyway, turn with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Jesus warned us that there would be false prophets. John chapter 7. And let's look over here. Oh, let me see. John chapter 7. Let's start in verse 10. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast. It's the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Now when the Bible's referring to Jews here, it's not referring to all the Jews. It's referring to the religious leaders. Many Jews had accepted him as Messiah. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, talking about God's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now, let's stop right here for a minute. We've got false prophets. We've got false teachers today. Amen. In the church worldwide. And they speak from themselves, from their own heart. Why? Because they're seeking their own glory. They're not seeking to glorify the one who called them. Amen? This is what Jesus is saying. We should be seeking the glory of the Father. by preaching the true gospel. Amen. Verse 19. Did not Moses give you the Torah? Yet none of you keeps the Torah. Why do you seek to kill me? The people answered and said, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. See, they're complaining because Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the Torah of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. There it is again. Same thing he said earlier when he said we judge its fruits. Okay? He's telling them, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. We can judge the fruit of what someone is producing, the fruit that's being produced from a ministry or a minister. Amen? And that's judging righteously. Glory to God. All right, now, here's another quote. You gotta love these people because they need somebody to love them. Are you suggesting, this is another one of these New Age preachers, are you suggesting that heaven is an actual place? Duh. That the place of God is an individual place that you go to? Doug Padgett. I'll never forget, I'm working at the Apple Festival in Jackson, and we work really hard, and you don't really have, you know, you like to try to talk to as many people as you can, but I was real busy that day, and we were undermanned, you know, small church running a big booth at the Apple Festival in Jackson. We were busy. And the Presbyterian minister comes over to me, and, you know, he's always gouging me. And he had some guy with him, and they asked me, do you take the Bible literally? Yes. Oh, really? You actually take the Bible literally? How else am I going to take it but literally? You know? And what they're looking for is they have a preconceived belief, and they're going to scriptures to try to back up what they already believe, instead of allowing cherry picking, that's a good way to put it, instead of allowing the Bible to determine what they believe. But I'll never forget that. Another one named Tony Jones, he said this, God is not a provable commodity. All the evidence in the world does not prove God. Really? Wow. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Glory to God. Let's look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do not judge those. Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. And what Paul's saying here is, listen, you can judge people that are in the church or proclaim to be in the church. You judge their fruit. You judge righteously. But he says, you don't have to judge the world because God is going to eventually judge the sinner. Somebody say amen. All right. Now, here's another quote. Now, I believe that everyone who deserves to be saved will be saved, no matter where they are, where they are at, or what they do. Dallas Willard. another minister, so-called minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's he peddling? He's peddling an easy grace. Okay? It don't matter what you do, you'll be saved. Don't matter how you live, how you act, but God gave us 66 books to teach us how to live. Somebody say amen or oh me, right? Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at my favorite apostle, Apostle Paul. Man, that guy, I'll tell you, 3 years on the backside of the Arabian desert with Jesus. Glory to God. Let's go to verse 12. Paul says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out to the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Messiah. And most of the burden in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Messiah or Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ or Messiah from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." We may not always agree with every other church on doctrine, but what Paul's talking about here is, if Christ is preached, if the true gospel is preached, even though we don't agree fully on things like end times or how to baptize, but if Christ is preached, if the gospel is preached, Paul's for them. But Paul, look here, Paul says in verse 17, "Knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, God doesn't need defended. Well, no, he doesn't need defended in that nobody's going to knock him off his throne. But we need to defend the word of God and what the word of God says and how we are to live according to the scriptures. Amen? I tell you this all the time. You can't be like the one politician that said, the Bible's outdated. The Bible hasn't kept up with society. I would argue or defend the gospel and say that society has not kept up with the high standards of the word of God. Amen? So in that regard, we defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? I've got another quote. You'll like this one. This guy is from, this is from an author and preacher named Brian McLaren. Don't get mad at me. I'm just delivering this, okay? He said, the cross, you know, this cross that we have back here, right? The cross is not the center for God. It is false advertisement, a distraction from the true gospels. Brian McLaren. A distraction from the true gospels. There's only one true gospel. That's Jesus the Messiah, born of a virgin, dying on a cross and resurrected on the third day. Amen. Him seated at the right hand of God, now pouring out his spirit on all flesh. Amen. I didn't look that far. I didn't look that far. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. That's your right there in Philippians. Go left. Ephesians chapter 5. I got verse 8. But that's my point. You have, just because you hang church on the marquee out there, does not mean the gospel of Jesus Christ or Yeshua the Messiah is being preached. There's a lot of junk in the church today. Amen? And you know, We are to judge the fruit. As a pastor, I'm a shepherd. It's my job to try to stay on top of things and to make sure to try to help you not to be deceived. That make any sense? I hope so. It's the best I got. Look at verse 8 of Ephesians 5. He says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." When you say the cross is not the center focal point of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not walking in light, you're walking in darkness. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Or wait a minute, verse 10. "Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Go back to verse 11. "Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." This is why I have trouble with ecumenical services, especially when you want to bring all different faiths in. The Bible says not to have any fellowship with the works of darkness. I'm sorry, Islam, Allah is not Yahweh.
Amen.
Amen. Bible says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works. Do you remember Rick Warren when he prayed at Barack Obama's inauguration? He prayed in the name of Yeshua. He had to like that. But he also prayed in the name of Isa. Isa is the Muslim name for Jesus. Okay? But it's not the same Jesus. In Islam, Isa never died. Okay? How many know we have a problem now because we have no atonement for sin if Jesus never died? He also prayed to the all-merciful, all-compassionate one. You read your Quran, those are names that are referred to, that they tag on to Allah, the all-merciful one. So, he's violating, I believe, and he also has Chrislam services where they bring the Quran, and I'll work on that next week, you know, to show you what the, you know, what the Quran really truly is. But anyway, he violated what Paul said by having fellowship with darkness. Somebody say amen or oh me. Now, let's see if we can wind this down. Here's another quote. This quote is from an author and minister named Dan Kimball. He wrote a book, The Emerging Church. And he says, "The old paradigm taught that if you had the right teaching, you will experience God. The new paradigm says that if you experience God, you will have the right teaching." Well, if you don't have the proper teaching, how are you going to experience God? He says if you have the right experience with God, you'll have the right teaching. What's he talking about? He's talking about meditation. Okay? He's talking about meditating, clearing your mind. And we'll look at some scriptures here in a minute. I'm going to go back to Rick Warren. Rick Warren has a Daniel plan. He's had it for years. And he brings three doctors in. You'll know one of them, Dr. Daniel Amen, Dr. Mark Hyman, and Dr. Mehmet Oz. Dr. Oz, okay? All three are involved in Rick Warren's Daniel plan. All three are involved in New Age teaching, but they identify, one identifies as a Muslim, one identifies as a Jew, and one as a Christian. All three are alternative, holistic health practitioners who teach the indivisibility, in other words, you don't divide the mind, the body, and the spirit in achieving optimum health. All right, stay with me. Their New Age spiritual beliefs are necessarily embedded in their medical practice. Now, let's look at these as individuals. Dr. Oz is described as a modern-day shaman who mixes traditional medicine with a wide variety of occult practices. You know what a shaman is? A shaman is someone who clears their self and allows a spirit, an evil spirit, to embody them in order to bring about healing to somebody. Voodoo, yeah, that's a good word for it. Dr. Amon is a child psychiatrist and best-selling author. He practices self-hypnosis and meditation. He also teaches Tantra. Tantra is a term applied to Hindu yoga, which worships sex. And Hyman, he wrote the book Ultramind Solutions, Meditation, where it's a meditation where you empty your mind to connect with spirit guides. He endorses New Age books, and he wrote the book Power Up Your Brain. So that's part of the Daniel plan for Rick Warren. Now, that's just the opposite of what Daniel did. Because Daniel wouldn't eat from the king's table because much of the food was offered to idols. It was paganism. Daniel refused paganism. It seems to me like by embracing a shaman, embracing this New Age movement, that Rick Warren is embracing New Age. Amen? Now, I got four more scriptures. We'll read them fast and we'll close. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Folks, I'm telling you, in the hour you live in, you need to be well-versed and well-grounded in the Word of God. Because that is the only way that you can judge the spirits. Chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, pick it up in verse 1. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds, he's talking about your minds, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity, that is in Messiah Jesus. That your minds may be corrupted. What was it that Satan told Eve in the garden? She said, God said, right? God said, if we eat of that fruit, we'll surely die. And what did Satan tell her? He said, oh, you won't die. God didn't say that. You're not going to die. See, that's the way the New Age is. That's when this stuff filters in the church, it becomes really, really dangerous. Because a lot of this stuff sounds good, but it's not godly. Amen. Turn with me real quick to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's the mind that Satan uses against us to pervert the gospel. And Paul warned of that. And these New Age meditators, they want you to empty yourself, meditate, empty yourself, empty your mind so that a spirit can take your place. You see how you're opening yourself up to New Age? That's not biblical meditation, emptying your mind. Look, Peter will tell us just the opposite of that. Peter tells us in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus the Messiah. Peter doesn't say empty your mind. He says gird up your mind. Amen. How do you gird up your mind? By being well versed in the text, in the scripture, in the biblical text. Amen. Jump over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's start in verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now watch what he says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. He says, be sober and be vigilant. Amen. The hour we live in requires that we be Christians, that we be disciples of Yeshua, Jesus, not on Sunday morning, but 24/7. Somebody say, amen or oh me. There's a real enemy, and he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And he would like nothing better than to take down the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. I got one more scripture. In Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, I think it's verse 30. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. We'll start in verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. We are to love God with all our soul, our strength, and all our mind.
Amen.
Amen. Our minds, our life must be God-centered. Amen. And that cross is the center of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because it was upon that cross that he took the penalty for your sin and mine. Amen. So that we could be born again and enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
God bless you all. If there's somebody out there, you're watching tonight, and you're not born again, and you wonder, how am I born again? It's pretty simple, really. Paul called it the simplicity of Jesus Christ. We make it difficult. But simply this, you ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you invite the King of Glory, Jesus the Messiah, to come into your heart and reign as Lord over your life. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We magnify you and glorify you. We thank you for your word. Father, help us as the attack is upon the church and upon God, that we will remain true to your word. We will not compromise your word. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you all. Oh. Don't forget to get you some candy there.